Hello, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance. We take turns. And this month was Tashai's turn to pick. And so we will be discussing Back in a Spell by Lana Harper. Oh boy, oh boy. It's getting lost in the lake. It's getting lost. There it is. So yeah, I'm here with my best wishes, Tashai and Andrea. This is Tashai's pick, but we are all in a transitory period in our lives right now. Some of us are moving. Some of us are getting ready to travel to the home, back to the homeland of Puerto Rico. And so there's a lot of stuff happening. We're having a cozy hangout. Cozy as far as like me and Andrea. Tashai is very lavishly, lashishly adorned as she prepares for her nuptials. And so, yes, just prepare, just brace yourselves. I'm talking so you can only see me, but brace yourself for when you see Tashai's like just stunning ethereal beauty. When she comes onto the screen. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about what we're eating, snacking, and what our backgrounds are. Like I said, we're having a cozy hangout. Again, just me and Andrea. Tashai is just like 10 out of 10 gorgeous right now. My background is like a lake at night. You can see like it's got a blue tint to it, and you can see the image of the moon in the lake, and this book features a lake very prominently, and so I thought that was special, and that's why I chose it.
I can go. We can save the best for last. So my background is a cute little possum with a little red witch's hat and a field of flowers, because I think that's my witch aesthetic. Like Chris, I am very cozy in a sweatshirt, and I don't have anything to eat or drink because there is nothing to eat or drink in my house. Because I'm moving tomorrow morning. So at this point, all that is left in the house is my bed, which I am sitting on. Everything else is just empty. Shy?
I offered you some chips via the webcam. You could have some.
A little snaggy snack. Yeah, but then I don't have a drink to like, then my mouth will be salty. And
I had coffee before this too, so God knows I'm about to have heart palpitations for the next hour. I don't have anything in my background, but I have like all of my knickknacks in the corner over there, which I consider part of my witchy aesthetic. I've got some like a little rain shower thingy. I've got my knife. I've got a seashell that has like bullets in it. I don't know why. I collect things. It's fine. I'm eating a bag of Lay's because I'm going to have dinner after this. And I got my lashes done. I got my nails done. And that's why I'm being targeted during this book club. But in my defense, TikTok told me this is what I had to do to look good on Friday. So I listened to the algorithm.
All right, family. That is us. That by the time you listen to this, by the time I edit this, and you are listening or watching this, we will already have been, Tashai was probably already married. So if you are leaving a comment or if you're leaving a review, make sure it's 5 stars and make sure to give Tashai your well wishes. So let's talk a little bit about the book that Tashai chose for us this month, Back in a Spell. Tasha's going to read us the description, and then Drea's going to tell us a little bit about the author.
Back in a Spell. Even though she won't deny her love for pretty and pricey things. Nynaeve Blackmore? Question mark? Unsure of pronunciation? Nynaeve? Don't come for me, internet. Blackmore, Nina, is almost painfully down to earth and sensible by Blackmore standards. But after a year of nursing a broken heart inflicted by the fiancé who all but ditched her at the altar, the powerful witch is sick of feeling low and is ready to try something drastically different. A dating app. At her best friend's urging, Nina goes on a date with Morty Gutierrez, the non-binary offbeat soul of spontaneity and a co-owner of the Shamrock Cauldron. She doesn't have high hopes for an online date, and it goes about as well as she expected. Awkward and terrible. To make matters worse, once Morty discovers Nina's last name, he's far from a fan. It turns out that the Blackmores had been bullishly trying to buy the Shamrock out from under Morty and his family. But when Morty begins developing magical powers, something that usually only happens to committed romantic partners once they officially join a founding family, At the same time that Nina's own magic surges beyond her control, Nina must manage Morty's rude awakening to the hidden magical world, uncover its cause, and face the intensity of the burgeoning connection. But what happens when that connection is tied to Nina's power surge, a power she's finding nearly as addictive as Morty's presence in her life? I sort of read that.
Okay, Drea, tell us about Lana Harper.
Lana is the New York Times bestselling author of Payback's a Witch and the forthcoming From Bad to Cursed from Berkeley Books. Writing as Lana Popovic, she is also the author of YA novels Wicked Like a Wildfire, Fierce Like a Firestorm, Blood Countess, and Poison Priestess. Lana studied psychology and literature at Yale University, law at Boston University, and is a graduate of the Emerson College Publishing and Writing Master's Program. She was born in Serbia and lived in Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania before moving to the United States, where she now lives in Chicago with her family.
All right, listeners, watchers, if you have not read this book and are interested in reading this or elements of this series, this is your spoiler warning. We're going to discuss this book pretty thoroughly. And so if you don't want any spoilers, stop here. You have been warned. We talked a little bit about why, Tashai, you chose this book. You said, I saw Non-Binary Witch and I wanted to read it. Or Non-Binary Witch Romance, and that's what about that intrigued you? Can you go a little bit deeper into that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounded like blind date gone very wrong based on the description. It was like, oh, she tries to go out with this person and then they end up kind of like stuck together by accident. So I thought that was something that sounded kind of interesting. And it seemed like there was going to be some like witchy lore going on. And I really just wanted to see how they would play around with the idea of a romance between, because our main character at one point is engaged to this like woman who she was seeing, and then it didn't work out. And then she decides to basically date with no hope that it would go well. Like the whole reason that she goes out with Morty is because they pose no threat of becoming a relationship. And I thought the scenario would be funny, you know, like, oh, I'm just gonna go out with this person. I'm not gonna put any pressure on it. Cut to they're like stuck together somehow. And so I thought that was gonna be funny. And yeah, I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. And again, should have Googled it more thoroughly. Did not realize that this was not a solo book, which did impact how I ended up feeling about it. But I was already kind of feeling what I was feeling before I realized that it was a third in the series. So yeah, I think I was just kind of curious. It was Halloween too. So I was like, all right, let's do something that's like witchy, but not another like Pride and Prejudice retelling. Like, let me find something that's not anything that is a redoing of something else. Let me find something that just kind of sounds like something fun that is an older romance and is not like a YA, because we already did something where there was like baking magic and romance, but that was like strictly in the YA space, really. So yeah, that's a why.
I think it's always a good call to read a witchy romance during October, during the Halloween season. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So, you know, it's time for us to share our overall impressions before I hand the floor over to you to ask us more in-depth questions. And I can start giving my overall impressions. I knew that this was the third in a series, but I feel like with romance, you're pretty safe. If you're kind of just jumping into a story. When I was reading this book, it felt like I had turned on the TV and like randomly was watching a Charmed episode, but like in season 7. So like, I felt like there was stuff missing from like the large, like family overarching story, but like the episode, I could follow the plot of the episode. So I didn't really mind too much. And I felt like even though there was stuff that was brought up that happened in other books, in the previous two books, I feel like it didn't really weigh down my reading. I didn't really have any expectations about those aspects of the story. I would have liked clarification, but it really didn't like influence me at all. And I thought this was a, I thought this was okay. I wanted to love it a lot more than I already did. There were certain things that it just did not come together in a way that I, that satisfied me, really, both in terms of the non-binary representation, and I guess overall, the I felt like the book, even though it's on the chunky side when I compare it to the other books, the one that comes after this one, the fourth in the series, is looks like it's the thinnest book. I felt like this book could have been a little bit longer to fit in a resolution that was more to my liking. And that's those are pretty much my overall impressions. I don't want to go too deep because I want to give some space for us to discuss more and for Tashia for you to ask your questions. But overall, this was okay. I wanted to love it more, but we'll talk about it.
I agree with everything you said. I think I went into it expecting a very light book. And so, like, that's what I got. I didn't go into it expecting something else. And I knew it was a series going in. Because it says it on the cover, which is why I asked. No, but I really didn't think it it affected too much. I think it's like Chris said, like you, in terms of like the world building and the family history and stuff about the town, like. Yeah, I felt like there were things that, you know, I would have understood better if I had read the other books. But in terms of the characters, like, you know, I mean, maybe characters from the first two books make cameos and I just didn't know. I think my issues were mostly just with like the rep, like Chris said. But in terms of enjoying myself, like I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the magic. I really enjoyed the idea of like fated mates, but in witch form. Because I don't think I had ever read that in a book before. And I'm a big fan. I know Chris isn't as big of a fan. Or I feel like we've talked about this in like previous OLL episodes. But I really like the whole like, we're fated mates. And now we must like bite each other. And we're locked together forever. Like I love that shit in like the shifter space. So it was kind of cool to see it in which form. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the little playback loop sex scene stuff. So yeah, I would say like overall, it was a very enjoyable experience for me. Like, yeah, I had like little quibbles or like things I would have done differently if I had been the one writing it, but I enjoyed it. I read it really fast. It wasn't hard to get through at all. So I would recommend this to like my sister. I feel like she would really like it.
I thought this was fine. I started reading it, and I think when I got like a fourth of the way through, I like, probably by chapter two, I was like, oh, there's a context I'm missing. Because stuff was presented to you like you would already know what it is. And so that's when I was like, oh shit, this is definitely not the first book in the series. Fuck. Like I missed the detail on the cover because it was like on the side and I was like, oh, okay. Like it's a blurb. Clearly I need to read things more carefully. This is not the first time this has happened to me. So I need to do a better job of looking things up. Cause what I didn't want to do was like look it up and get it spoiled. And so I've been trying to not look books up to avoid that, but I need to get better about at least checking to see if it's the first in series or not. Once I got past that and I was like, okay, I'm just not going to know the context about the place that we are in, but that's fine because if we're meeting characters for the first time, like it's okay. We will learn what we learn from them anyway. But the more I like got through the story, the more it felt like it was trying to tell like two or three different stories at the same time, but none of them got told completely. And I think that's the biggest kind of thing that I'm missing in this book. Because of the way the romance is set up, we didn't get like a romantic story. We had strangers who then bonded, who then have sex, and then the rest of the book, they are like together. And so I thought there was going to be a lot more of like them getting to know each other now that they're stuck together and that relationship developing. But instead what happens is they have sex at the bar the like second time
they hang out. And because the magic is so strong and they have the sensation feedback loop, now they're in love. And I made a note to ask y'all how you felt about that, because that to me kind of just completely took away the romance part of the story, because as soon as they hook up, they're just like, well, okay, then we're like together. And I wish that there had been a lot more of like, they were physically attracted to each other, but like didn't like each other's personalities. And so the magic like kept forcing them to like hook up. But then afterwards they're like, damn it, I still don't like you as a person though. But that didn't happen. And then we get this like other story about a goddess statue in the lake, and it has chosen Nina. And we don't get any reason why or how it happened or what the statue is or, you know, why Nina of all people. And there's no like huge confrontation. It's just kind of like, Nina, are you going to be a bitch about this and keep the magic, or are you going to not? And that's it. Like, that's that. There's no conflict. It's just that. And then there's like the family dynamic drama, where we hear some of the abuse that has like gone on, and then that never gets talked about or explored, and there's no real confrontation with the family. So it's like I got like an amuse-bouche of all these possible plot lines, and then none of them were provided in enough detail. So I agree with Chris. I feel like this book could have been much longer. There was so much more that we could have talked about, we could have read about. I didn't need that much description of Camelot. I could have used that time to like understand like what this power means now, and like more encounters with the other families. I thought there was going to be a big witch fight of people like attacking Nina, thinking that she's this like monster, but none of that happened. And it all got resolved really just like buttoned up together. And it's like, oops, a couple people got punished, but like not really the end. So that's my feedback. I wish it had been stronger. It was a lot. There were so many nuggets of potential in it. And I just didn't, I don't feel like it delivered as good as it could have. So back in a spell. My first like three-pronged question is really just talking about that main relationship between Nina and Morty. And I was just curious how you guys felt about how that romance was like handled, how it developed. And after I like went through reading the entire book, I kind of started thinking about the concept of that like binding, and whether or not that was like fair to the character of Morty. So it is like an A and B question of like, how did you feel about that romance? How do you feel about the way that it was developed? And like, how do you feel about the use of this like binding as part of the setup for this romance?
So as far as the romance, I wish it had been more romantic. I wish it had been stronger. When you were mentioning like, oh, I wish that they had like still been hooking up, but then like still like, you know, felt this animosity towards each other, you know, like, oh, I hate to like you so much, but I like you, so, but I hate that. I wish we'd gotten a little bit more of that, because this is certainly like an opposites attract kind of situation. I liked that there was, you know, that first date was pretty bad. I also think that Nina was super judgy, and I did not enjoy being in her head for the entirety of the book. I do wish that, I feel like with the other books, it's just a single person point of view. I do like it when in romances we get a double point of view where we can also hear what the other character is saying, especially if they're a marginalized character. But yeah, far be it for me to tell an author what's how to, you know, how to do their thing. Yeah, I wish it had been stronger. I agree that it just kind of like, oh, we don't like each other, but then we had this bond, and then it took all of the tension out of the romance. Like, it was solved. And then the only thing that was left in the story to resolve was the issue about the coin and the lady in the lake. And I didn't care about that. Like, I wasn't here for that. I was here for the romance. And so that was like, I was like, okay, well, I'm looking at what else is left in the book. The buildup could have been a lot better. As far as the binding, so I thought that was really tricky because I do like that. I like that setup. I do like that setup quite a bit. I don't think it was fair, but I also think that, you know, those are the contrivances that lead to like romantic comedies, you know? Now, that being said, Morty is on a fucking high horse about consenting, about getting your mind erased. However, gets powers and is okay with this magical binding. And so I was like, I did feel like Morty's character was kind of talking out both sides of their mouth at some points. Like, oh, you better do the right thing. If I don't want to be with someone, I don't want to be with someone. And a little bit about that, Drea, when you mentioned the fated mates thing, I agree. I don't like it. I don't like fated mates. I do feel like I kind of enjoyed this a little bit better, where it feels like there's more of a choice here. Like, you become fated once you choose to be fated. Does that make sense? And so then the link happens, and that was, you know, I think that's cool. I like that they were able to choose that. But I thought it was strange that Morty didn't kind of like push back a little bit more. Like, I feel like that could have been an area of contention as well. Then the way that it's kind of resolved at the end, where it's like, I mean, how do you feel about it? I guess I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it? I'm okay with it. And then, okay. And then that was it. And I was like, okay, I guess that was it.
I know people in my real life where they might hate someone's guts, but if they got that pleasure loop out of it, they'd be like, how can I make this work? Because this is too satisfying to like ever give up. So it felt very realistic to me that, like, especially for Morty, it seemed like, not necessarily like a slut, but like it seemed like they were out there having fun on the dating apps. You know what I mean? And so it seemed realistic to me that Morty would be like, whoa, whoa, wow, I hate you. And then be like, wow, 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 that felt really good. Okay, we're fated mates now. Cool. No sé. Like, it didn't seem unrealistic to me. I get why you would want, like, more romance out of it. But I also went into this book not thinking it was a straight-up romance. I don't know if maybe that wasn't how you all went into it. But I went into it thinking this is a witchy book that has romance in it, as opposed to this is a romance that has witches in it. So it didn't bother me that there was like this big plot stuff with the coin and the Lady of the Lake, because that's what I was kind of expecting.
Yeah, I think once you get to that like sensation loop, it kind of then complicates the situation, because it's like, yeah, I don't like this person, but like now I kind of get to see what their point of view is. And now immediately I kind of see how I misread what they were saying and the things that they've done. And like, I've misjudged this person, and we are both attracted to each other, but I thought the romance was weak. I'm like, if you're going to do it, can we get something a little stronger than this? Just because you give us Morty, who is this like, From what I gather, has a very rich and interesting life. They do a lot of interesting stuff. They have a lot of interesting sounding friends, a very like fun sounding family. And you hear like none of that. You don't get any of that part of the relationship. You just get Nina, which I understand. She's the protagonist. That's what we're mainly going to be seeing. But this like loop goes both ways. So Morty gets all of this backstory and all these feelings about Nina's family being like shitty. And then Nina feels Morty like loving their family. Well, that segues into my other question, where I was like, how did we feel about the representation? Because for a book that sold its second romantic, it's, you know, one of the romantic leads as being non-binary, when it comes to how Nina addresses Morty and speaks of Morty and they experience each other, it is like super male presented. So how'd you guys feel about that? Do we all agree that?
No, I would agree with that. I feel like the,
I feel like the author wasn't aware that there are men who identify as cis males who also enjoy playing with clothing and makeup and like how they present themselves in terms of like just clothing and accessories. And like, I don't know, it felt like she, Lana, I feel like she wrote a male character, but then was like, but I want my male character to be able to dress in like femme presenting clothing sometimes, or like do these things. So I'm going to make them non-binary. But it didn't, obviously everyone experiences gender in different ways. So this is not to say that someone who is NB couldn't read this and be like, oh yeah, that's like me all the way. But I feel like you said, Tosh, if you're selling your book as being a non-binary romance, then the fact that you have everyone address this person using he, him pronouns and their body and there's all the sexual scenes are described with such like a male focus. And then the only thing like NB entre quotation marks about them is the way they dress sometimes. I don't know. Yeah, it was a little weird.
I felt like the non-binary representation in this book was ass. It was very bad. I feel like, and I don't want to go like too hard because I do feel like, you know, sometimes when you read a book and you're like, man, this author really thought that they were doing something here. Like they thought that, you know, they were being fair and super, you know, inclusive. The good intentions, I feel like, are there, but they have come so dramatically short from any kind of execution. And you're right, Andrea, there's like men who enjoy dressing in women's clothing. Like you don't have to necessarily be non-binary or feel gender neutral to want to, or fluid to want to experiment with women's clothing. Or, you know, what we consider right, femme presenting or woman presenting, things like makeup, nail polish. I found that I was really disappointed that I felt like halfway through the book, the author really just dropped it altogether. And I feel like at no point I felt like Nina used it or even thought of Morty in those terms. When they were having the sex scenes, it was hot. But there was definitely something missing there for me, especially because I don't identify as non-binary. I prefer to just either be neutral, non-conforming, or, you know, be considered woman, female, femme, etc. Like those are my lanes. I'm not going to try to tell people how to represent non-binary people. But I also feel like if you are going out of your way to have a non-binary character and there is some sort of like loop in which the other person is going to feel what you're feeling, your relationship with your body, if you are like a fluid person, I was expecting something there, anything there, you know what I mean? I was expecting there to be just any kind of like outside of the binary thinking when it came to pleasure, body representation, you know what I mean? Maybe it didn't have to be, but in no other place in the book am I finding this representation. And so, and this seems like a really interesting place to maybe insert it. And so I felt like there was nothing there. If there was nothing there for me to grab onto, and it was really disappointing that it just did not play as important of a story. And it did not play an important part in the story as I felt like it could have. We meet Morty's family, and at that point, Morty kind of like combs their hair. They take off the nail polish. Is there something going on? Are they not like out to their parents? You know, like I was like, it's never talked about again. And yeah, it's more than just like the clothes you wear. I feel like there could have been more sensitivity reading as far as this book goes. I feel like there are so many non-binary book reviewers that I follow that could have just easily been like, hey, at least keep alternate your pronouns, especially with the people that they're close with, right? And so it just really sucked. I don't know. It's just, it's so prominent in the description and it just did not deliver. And I'm okay if it's like the romance is not super fleshed out, fine. If the magic is kind of like incomplete because it's a third in the series, fine. But give me like a good queer character. Give me a good representation and I would have forgiven you everything. And then with this like massive failing, I'm not able to recommend this book because I didn't like it. And I wouldn't want to put anybody in the space where they would think like, oh yeah, this is fine. You know, even if they didn't care, I wouldn't want them to be like absorbing that subconsciously.
I think part of it too is like, even earlier this year, we read Heartbreak Bakery where the main character was non-binary. And that book did a perfectly good job of having other people recognize it. Other people discuss what identity looks like. There was romance involved with someone else who was also on the queer spectrum. And they were able to recognize it. And it wasn't the be-all, end-all of what that relationship was or became. But it added to the layer of how much like weight there was in the relationship. Was these two people finding each other and being able to kind of commiserate in their experience of trying to understand how they felt and how they wanted to express themselves and be perceived by others. And it just, yeah, it feels like a box that was checked in an app and then it never comes up again. And I would have thought that, especially like you mentioned with the sensation loop, wouldn't that have been a wonderful opportunity for Morty, who is someone who is non-binary, to speak to the ability to now have sensations from both, like across the spectrum? Because otherwise you would never really have that opportunity. So the fact that they come together sexually and almost become like this one being in that moment of coming together and having sex and being together intimately, that would have been the perfect opportunity to even voice the idea of like, wow, we really both just like transcended any sort of perceived binary. We both existed in this like middle space of pleasure. Wow, I've never had that before. And that's maybe why now Morty is so intrigued to continue this relationship, because they've been able to now step into a space that has previously been inaccessible. And Nina has been able to now open herself up to someone on an emotional level, and you know, that has never before been accessible. So that's what I mean, where I was like, there were so many nuggets in this book that like could have become something so like so much stronger. But yeah, I at some point I'm like, how far back did we stop saying they, like where? I couldn't search because it was a physical book, but okay, we're on the same page then, just because I'm like, okay, well, I guess that is what it is.
I think that there's no like right way to like be non-binary, right? And there are non-binary men, non-binary women, do you know what I mean? Those things exist. It just didn't feel like the portrayal of Morty was in any way deep enough to explore that in any way, shape, or form. They're very much like a side character in Nina's life, in the story of Nina at this point, even though he's her fated mate, you know, apparent fated witch mate. There's just nothing there to grab onto. And so it's just a lot of.
But they're so hot. They're so hot. It doesn't matter.
I believe it. You know, I believe it.
No, it's no worry. I put, there were a lot of like magic families. There was a lot of lore. Was any of this interesting to you? Is there a family you would have wanted to know more about? I thought the bookkeeping family was kind of cool and all those like magicked books. So A, is there any family you wish you had like heard more about? Which obviously, again, this is the third in a series. So I think the one who's the voice and the whatever that like leadership role, I think those characters were probably the protagonists in the first or second book. Yeah, the voice and Victor, like, that's a fun resume title. But like, I feel like they were probably in the first and second book. And then there's mention of this like other family who has the like bookstore that they all just like, they basically like own the history of everybody. So is there like
any family or any side character you wish you had known kind of more about. We get one best friend for Nina. Best friend shows up maybe 3 times. And that's kind of it. So is there any other character? There was Lioness, who's apparently terrible, you know, cool. Yeah, is there any other family you would have wanted to know about? Any other side characters that you wish would have gotten a lot more screen time?
I want to say not necessarily a specific family or specific character, but I wish I had known what all went down at that like big tournament thing that decided the voice and Victor. It just sounded really intense, and like that was the root of a lot of conflict in this town, and especially between the families. So I think it was hard for me to connect with the families and all their rivalries and stuff because I didn't know what had gone down at this like big thing. So yeah, I think I just wanted to know, like, first of all, what kind of contest was this? Like, I got that it was a contest, but I didn't know what it was about. And also what happened that now, like, one of the families is like shamed and the other one took power, and like I feel like there was cheating involved, but like again, I just don't know enough.
I'll be honest, I didn't care too much. I didn't care to follow. I didn't know who was who and was like, okay. I kept waiting for the story to between Nina and Morty to get more interesting, and that didn't happen either. And so by the time I obviously realized that that was going to be the case, I was like, huh, okay, well, I didn't remember. I did think that the bookkeeping family was interesting. And I was really concerned about, you know, what was going to happen to her. Because I felt like that was a really terrible thing to happen to her. I mean, I know that, well, I don't know if Nina did it on purpose. I mean, I feel like she did. I don't know. But I was like, that fucking sucks. And I saw that, yeah, that she's in this next book. So that's the only character that I felt like I wanted to know more about. I was interested in also knowing about, right, the deity system, you know, like what other entities are granting magic in the world, not just particularly here in Thistle Grove. I wanted to know more about that lady in the lake and, you know, what, who put her there? What's going on with that? That's kind of what I was more interested in. And are there other any folks in the lake, or are there other lakes that give power? And, you know, like, are there other things that are there other places where witches are able to get their power from? It can't be the only place, right? So that's what I was curious about mainly. But just because I felt like I didn't need to invest in the external characters, I felt like I could rely on Morty and Nina to bring the goodies as far as interesting characterization. But I was wrong.
I think I would have wanted to know more about the book lady, and then also what the brother did that was like terrible. And also, why are the mom and grandma like fucking so terrible? Like, other than being super exacting and like not satisfied with anything they did, it like the way they talked about being like abused by the family, I'm like, well, what? Why are you still like listening to your mom? Like, your mom and your grandma are like the bad guys. Like, it sounds like you know they're the bad guys, and you're still trying to figure out, like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna tell them about this like super boosted power because, like, yeah, they've been terrible and have been like trying to cheat their way into owning and like managing the town for my entire lives, but yeah, I'm just gonna like let them know. Maybe they won't. And it's like, Nina, girl. So I'm curious to figure out what the moral compass is for the mother and grandmother. Like, what drove them to be so terrible to their family? Like, where did that come from? There must be some history there of like, why are you at war with these other families? Did another family betray you? Are you guys like the fucking Targaryens? Are they the Targaryens of this book? Is that what it is? And they just like want power, and that's what's guiding like all these decisions. I don't know. So I feel like there was a lot of secondary character lore that would have been interesting to learn about. And I feel like
you get nuggets in book one and two, but I also don't know that you get everything. I opened tabs for the two books on Goodreads just to try to be like, who are these books about? So TBD. And then, yeah, I just kind of was like, what would you have liked to see more about, or what would you have changed? What do you think would have like possibly made this a stronger read? But I kind of feel like we already went through that. So
let's do it anyway. Control F. Find all instances of Morty. Switch at least a couple of pronouns to them. Stellar, stellar work. You're welcome. I expect my check in the mail.
I think
Go on.
I said, I think my thing too is like, Nina gets these powers, and then Morty's like, if you don't give these powers back, I'm gonna break up with you. And that's the central conflict, is if I keep these powers, Morty's gonna break up with me, and other people won't have powers, but like, I'll be a goddess. And that lasts like 3 days that happen off screen. We don't see that inner turmoil. It's like 3 days later, the woman from the other family shows up, and it's like, yeah, that was me, sorry. As soon as Nina obliviated the shop owner, I was like, fuck you. Like, you're a terrible person. Because at that point, Nina has already blown up so many magic spells that, like, you know it's not gonna work. You know something like tremendously bad is gonna happen. And still you're like, maybe oblivion. Like, oh girl, why you do this?
I think the way that you get what you wanted romantically, Tosh, is that Nina doesn't give back the powers. She becomes this like super deity. Morty breaks up with her, but then they can't stop having sex because of the pleasure.
Exactly. And through that connection, she's like guilted into understanding the full weight of the decision that she's made and seeing the true consequences of her actions.
Yeah, and she does get forgiven so easily for, you know, like, she just gets a little slap on the wrist, which I was like, come on, man. She, like, ruined this lady's life. Almost. Very nearly. Could have ruined it.
She obliviated this chick, and they're like, you're gonna have, like, 60% of your power for the next year, but you're also getting a promotion. But your mom? Fuck her, no magic.
Yeah, and your irresponsible brother gets to be put in the seat of power of your family. Huh? What is this system? I don't understand. I don't understand the intricacies of this world. What are these rules? These governances? Who makes these calls?
Yeah, yeah. I like Andrea's version more. I'm gonna, what's it called, retcon this book and pretend that that's how it happened.
Yeah, I mean, any place where tension could have been added between Morty and Nina would have been good, because then, you know, you have something there. This is kind of like almost very insta-lovey, and in the way that didn't super duper work. Do you know what I mean? Maybe Nina could have been more resistant to Morty, and Morty is like, oh, I love this power, I don't want to. Do you know, one of them could have wanted it more. They were both like, okay. Somebody could have had reservations about it. I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't make sense that someone would go for it, but everyone just went into it with their like magic ussy, like all up in it. It just were so ready. And I was like, maybe it makes sense in the real world, but in this story, I think that of all the things, aside from maybe respecting Morty's use of pronouns and exploring maybe something outside of the binary during the pleasure loop, that would have brought this to the next level. I want to push back. These are romance books, but all of the plots of these books are like, this person is this, and this person is this, and together they will this. And that reads that it is romance with magic involved. And I think that the magic part and the world building is important, but only in the sense that it creates like this cozy little town, Gilmore Girl situation. Do you know what I mean? To have these romances like happen, all of the plots of the books are about two people falling in love through circumstances that involve magic. And so, yeah, this wasn't romantic enough for me. And yeah, that's how I feel about it.
the only reason I went into it thinking that, to be perfectly honest, was the cover. It just didn't. It just didn't look like a romance cover to me. It looked like a more fantasy cover. So that's why it wasn't based on anything, really.
It was a stealth cover. It was like, that was the whole point. It was a stealth cover because they wanted you to be like, the powers that be, and Lana Harper, everybody. These are the true evil witches of Thistlegrove. The publishers and Lana, that's them. They're like, well, we're going to get you. You're going to think you're reading a fantasy. Psych! You're reading a romance. Without any romance in it.
Without reading the first and second book, I can't know if this was just like kind of a I'm gonna like phone it in because I have stronger ideas for book four, but I need a book that transitions from like book two to that other story, because sometimes that's what some books are. It's more of like a necessary transition from a story of like one character to another, but you can't kind of like hop from A to C, so you need this like middle
grade. Maybe this was the two towers of the series. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like our middle ground. This was the Empire Strikes Back of this. If you are gonna start, if you're trying to be like, I'm just gonna read it out of order, don't start here.
Don't do it.
Don't start here. Don't do it here.
Thank you for finishing these. Thank you for finishing the book, y'all.
Yeah,
I appreciate your time. I appreciate your mind.
Listen, they're not all going to be home runs. I picked a couple. I mean, I'm not going to call this a dud. I also think that the point is the discussion, not the book being good is a plus. The point is always the discussion. So yeah, I'm always well, I'll find stuff to talk about for sure. All right, so that was our book club read. So what else are we reading? Are we reading anything good? Watching anything? Listening to anything, maybe? If you're not in, like, a reading mood, if things are too busy right now?
I have White Oleander, which I'm, like, 47% of the way through, and Legendborn.
Oh, speaking of Arthuriana.
Yeah, it was on a list of, like, on either Instagram or TikTok. Some book talker, I think, was like, if you like this, like, she had a post that was like, books that you should read because they are better versions of other books, but are by BIPOC. So if you want to read BIPOC and you also want a better version of this book, read this. If you want to read this. And so they did like a, if this, read this instead. And so they like mentioned that one compared to like some other book. And I was like, so I grabbed it. It's in my Kindle. We'll see if I read it, if I have time.
I'm reading Other Terrors, which is a short story collection of scary stories. It's actually, I think it's the perfect time to read it because normally I'd be really worried about all the stories giving me worse nightmares. But the entire past week, all my nightmares have been moving related. And so the scary stories haven't managed to like climb over that wall. So I'm safe for now, I think. I feel like as long as I finish reading it before I reach New Orleans, I'll be good. So I've been reading that, but I'm reading it physically. So I'll be listening to, I think, a bunch of audiobooks during my 3-day drive. But that's the one I'm reading physically right now.
That's a good book. I've just polished off The Fall of Wit Rivera by Crystal Maldonado, who we have read on the club before. We read, I forget the catfishing one. That's the one we read together. But I've also read Fat Chance Charlie Vega. This is actually with a book tour that I have to post about tomorrow. So I'll probably make some content after this. but it's really enjoyable. It's got PCOS rep. It's got a lot of good stuff. Similar to Andrea Beatriz Arango, Crystal Maldonado is like an author that you can go to get like really affirming and heartwarming protagonists and representation that feels like it's been looked into and crafted with a lot of care. And it also speaks to like me personally, they speak to a lot of the child in me, you know, the one that wishes I'd had these books when I was growing up. Those that's the That is the category of books that they fall into. And it's a good story. I would recommend it highly. It just came out this week. It's beautiful. The story is really cool. It's a smooth read, and it does pack a punch in certain places. So I'd recommend it. Legendborn is also really good, Tashai. I really hope you like it so we could talk about it. Really enjoyed it. It's really good, action-packed YA. There's a bit of a love triangle, but it's like the good kind. You know, like it's written well, but yeah. So next month we are going to be reading, what are we reading next month? It is Andrea's pick. But yeah, that's going to be our hangout for tonight. Thank you so much for sticking it out. Let us know how you feel about the witches of Thistle Grove. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye. Thank you for making it to the end of our episode and spending some witchy time with us. Make sure to like the video and leave us a comment if you're watching. And if you're listening and your podcatcher of choice, please leave us a review. 5 stars for a nice magical time. You can support Only Lovers Book Club by subscribing to our shows and sharing our episodes. You can also drop some change into our tip jar or buy books from our bookshop. We've got other kind of like creepy Halloween-y sort of books that we've chosen throughout the years. If this one doesn't sound like your bag, baby, there might be something in there for you. So go ahead and peruse and let me know what you pick. You can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.